This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Good morning. My name's Adrian, but my wife's name is Lisa. She's 5'4", comes up about right here. She has blonde hair and blue eyes, and she is a righteous fox, cha-ching. Sasquatch tries to get pictures of her. If she pats you on the back, you put it on your resume. Mosquitoes don't bite her out of respect. I will tell you this right now. I am deeply, desperately in love with my wife. I couldn't care less what you think about that. I'm 6'6", pretty much do what I want. But I wanted you to know, I care what he thinks, pretty big guy there. Other than that, I really don't care. That guy's big too. Other than that, listen, I just think men should brag about their wives, or as far as they're concerned, you're half a man. So let's do it real quick. I want all the married men to stand up. Take your time, hurry up. All the married men in the house, stand up. Do we have any engaged men? Engaged men, stand up and raise your hand. Raise your hand, engaged men. Let me see your hands. Stand up, hurry up. You're killing me. You're killing me, Smalls. Here's what I want you to do. You engaged men, let's get started, okay? I mean, who's your daddy? Let's do this now. When I say go, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to brag about your wives out loud. Please do not make me start over. But when I say go, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to brag. Use your diaphragm. Give me, come on, throw me a bone here. Brag about, don't talk about how good a cook they are. Some guy did that. She's a good cook. Yep. That guy's pretty healthy, so maybe that is good. So when I say go, on your marks, come on, throw me a bone loud and clear. Get set. Go. Five seconds. Come on. Four. Two. One. Good job, gentlemen. Good job. Oh, I love it. I love it. That's to teach all you young men out there who are going to get married 1,500 years from now, that you need to figure out how to brag about your wives now. This is not a sissy thing. This is a man thing. Men brag on their wives. I'll just tell you that right now. I'm tired of Christian men being sissies for the Lord when it comes to that. Now, watch. In honor of the Mayan calendar. Now, what's the day supposed to end on? December 21st, okay, in honor of the Mayan calendar. Now, I know the Lord's probably not going to come back on the 21st because we're not supposed to know the day of the hour, but it might be the 22nd. And I don't mean to make light of that because it's a very important day for me when the Lord comes back. I'm looking forward to the day. I'll be able to dunk on the way up. It'll be pretty cool wherever my basketball coach goes. But I'll just tell you this right now. It's a very important day for me, and every year I pick a word. At the beginning of the year, in January, I want to pick a word that I deal with on that word. I focus on the word. I study the word. And guess what the word is this year for me? It's the word evangelism. And I've done that in honor of the Mayan calendar. So, I've been going crazy this year. If you can imagine, I've been going crazy this year talking to people about Jesus. And God has given me favor. I'm getting chills thinking about on airplane trips especially. God has given me favor to have led a lot of people to the Lord all over the place, individually. Now, of course, I'm an evangelist, and that's what I'm supposed to do, blah, blah, blah. But listen, my point is, it's been a lot of fun for me this year. I mean, a lot of fun. Wouldn't it be great when you're in heaven to have somebody come up to you and say, hey, you're the person, you're the girl, you're the guy, you're the one who told me about it. Thank you! I mean, can you see the guy going, walking away, going, duh, 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 duh. I mean, just going crazy. I don't know what that looked like, but watch this now. You imagine the guy going crazy, and for 10,000 years, 10,000, jubba, jubba, jubba. I mean, for 10,000 years, sorry, I don't know the words, but for 10,000 years, great song, though, my favorite ever, but I'm sorry. For those of you who don't know me, this is the way I really am, but watch this now. I saw a couple guys going, listen, I understand my wife does, but watch this now. For 10,000 years, that person come up to you, you're the guy. I mean, can you imagine just one more person we talk to about Jesus? For one more person over here, one more person over here, the nations deserve it. Imagine somebody from Zimbabwe coming up to you going, ah! Imagine how awesome that will be. So I think we must, in this room, we must have a reaction to Jesus that shows no concern for our reputation. We must figure out a way to respond to Jesus. We must. We must. How did the people in the Bible respond to Jesus? I mean, how did they respond to him? I want you to preach this message. I did this about 7 or 8 years ago, and it didn't seem like it went over that well, so I'm going to give it another shot. Bless your hearts. Welcome to Moses. But watch this now. So how did people respond to Jesus throughout the scriptures? You preach it. Don't give me some pre-incarnate Christ story. That's cheating. Just New Testament Jesus incarnate. Who met with Jesus face to face? And let's figure out what the reaction was. Raise your hand and tell me if you know somebody, even obscure people in the New Testament. I don't care. Who met with Jesus face to face? In the back, yes, I see that hand, yes. The demoniac guy? The demoniac guy. Let's take him in the Gadarenes. Okay. Imagine this guy. I think he has over 2,000 demons in him. Now, this is a pretty intense story here. I, for some reason, God has given me favor to have dealt with some of this stuff a little bit, and I don't want to get into that right now, but you can you imagine 2,000 demons in a guy, and this guy has the wherewithal to fight these demons? I don't know how it's going on. I'm going to do this right here, but they're pulling at him, saying, "No, it's Jesus, don't go down there," and this guy has the wherewithal to fight through. Just, you imagine defensive lineman ripping, chewing to get through the offensive line. All the way down there, fighting and shredding, the demons are tearing out, and he falls on his face in front of Jesus. How did he do that? Because he was, I mean, you know what his reputation was. Everybody hated him. They chained him, broke the chains, lived in no clothes. Just horrible reputation. He runs down, this guy Jesus, who may be the only guy that can help me, falls on his knees. The demons speak out, "Are you going to send us into the pit before our time?" Jesus says, "Silence, what is your name?" "We are a legion, for we're many." A Roman legion with 6,000 Roman soldiers, because I took military science in college with all the other football players. Okay, so watch this now. Yeah, I got an A, just shut up. Now watch this now. I guess everybody got it. Okay, my point was, a Roman legion with 6,000 Roman soldiers, but behind every legion would be another legion that they never counted. So it could have been 12,000 or 6,000. When he said our name is legion, it could have been 6,000. I don't ever trust a demon when they answer anyways, but watch this now. I figure they're going to be lying anyway, so let's just keep going. So this demon is talking to Jesus, says, and the guy says, "Are you going to send us away before our time?" They even know about their time. "Are you going to send us away before our time? And send us into those pigs up there." Jesus said, "Pigs all the way down the hill." Can you imagine that? But do you remember what the demoniac did? Do you remember what he did right after that? That is getting taller and taller. That hurt. My Achilles went, "Wow!" Okay, watch this now. Okay, stay focused here. Y'all need to be more mature. Do you remember what the demoniac did? The demoniac said, "I want to get in a boat with Jesus." His reaction to Jesus was, "I want to go with him." Jesus said, "No, I don't want you to go with me. Go back to the Decapolis, set it up for when Paul comes." Can you imagine what he did? Can you imagine his message? When the people came and they saw this guy sitting there in his right mind, what did that look like? I mean, he was smiling. I mean, you cannot hide Jesus inside of you. He's probably going, The victorious Christian life isn't some radical and on fire experience. It's normal Christianity. And to call it radical and on fire would be a misnomer. It's just normal. Everybody else would be subnormal or abnormal. Did I say that? Is this recorded? So watch this now. He's sitting in his right mind and he wants to follow Jesus. He had a reaction to Christ that showed no concern for his reputation. Good one, girlfriend. Give me another one. Who? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man. Oh, now, wait a minute. Now, y'all know the story because you've heard it since you were too much. But you know what he did? He. Who did? What? People do this all the time here, I know. Zacchaeus climbed we even know what the kind of tree it was. What kind of tree was it? Sycamore fig tree. Is that true? I don't know. All I know is this, is we know what kind of tree it was. But see, what you don't get Have you guys ever been to a Christmas parade, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, don't raise your hand. But watch this now. Have you ever seen a guy climb a light pole with a suit and tie on, you know, nice suit, tie, screaming at the top of his lungs, Santa, Santa, here comes Santa Claus, Santa. I've never seen it. I'm not talking about the movie Elf either. I saw that. Don't, I'm not talking about that. But Zacchaeus climbed a tree in his suit. Everybody knew what his job was. I know he was a wee little man, was a tax collector. Everybody hated him because he overtaxed him and he was rich. I mean, you had a certain area you had to get a certain amount of money from, and anything over that you got to keep. So he overtaxed him because it says he's a rich man. And Zacchaeus, he didn't care about his reputation, how everybody hated his guts. He wanted to see Jesus. So when Jesus was walking by, Jesus stopped right underneath him. Can you imagine Zacchaeus' mind? See, when you read the Bible, it's not some dead book. It is alive. So read it as if it's alive. Imagine what Zacchaeus was thinking. I mean, we're not going to say, thus saith the Lord here, but imagine Zacchaeus going, nothing up here but us tree. So Jesus stops and looks up at him and says, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down. I have to stay at your house today. I bet Zacchaeus jumped out of the tree. And I bet his knees did that same thing that mine are doing. And he says, and we don't know the conversation. All we know is Jesus, Zacchaeus stood up and said, look, Lord, if I've cheated anybody, I give it four times the amount. With the rest of my money, I give it to the poor. And I could just see, this is one of those times where I see Jesus laughing. I see him laughing a lot in the Bible. He's going, today salvation has come to this household because he too is a child of Abraham. Zacchaeus, he didn't care about his rep. He wanted to see Jesus, and he gave away all his money because of it. Normal Christianity. Not radical and on fire. The victorious Christian life is normal Bible stuff. Give me another guy. Another girl, another guy. I don't care. I said Andromus. I heard two, Andromus. Andrew, Peter's brother. Always bringing people to Jesus. Brought Peter to Christ. He's like a little evangelist, isn't he? Brought the little Greek boys. Hey, you had lunch. Five loaves and two fish. Brought the Greek guys to Jesus. I don't know why I'm doing that, but you know what I'm saying? What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Sorry. Just, you can pray for my wife because I'm like this at home, but watch this now. Andrew was one of the great evangelists. I mean, that was too easy. Come on, throw me a bone here. I mean, he was always bringing people to Christ. I mean, it seems like if you know Jesus, you want to bring people to him. You just do it like this. Give me somebody else. Who was the miss guy in the back? Somebody said a miss. Nicodemus. Came to Jesus at night. Maybe he was concerned about his rep. Maybe he was working all day because of the Passover. But that's beside the point. I think he's still concerned about his rep. Many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name but Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew it was in a man. That was chapters 2, verse 23 to 25. Then chapter 3, verse 1, a guy named Nicodemus comes to him at night. He's one of these guys who believe in him because he says, we know you're from God because you couldn't do the things you do unless you're from God. Jesus looked at him and said, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. What in the world kind of comment was that? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, us Christian believers, we go, oh, you have to be born again. Do you know what that means? I don't know if you were there when you were born. No, that's not right. Wait a minute. That's not even close. I think you were there, but watch this now. How many men in the room were in the room when their wives gave birth? Raise your hand if you were in the room when your wives gave birth to the kids. Was that not the most intense thing you've ever seen in your entire life? Ever? My wife was strapped into this little seismograph thing that was measuring her earthquakes. What do you call it? She said she wanted to go natural. I didn't know what that meant. I thought it was a baseball movie. Pretty good show. Remember the old left-handed guy with the little lightning bolt? So I'm watching a little, because I have ADHD, QDZ 517, said, what? I mean, I have issues with my attention. I'm sorry, what were we talking about? I mean, I was watching this needle thing go, and the higher it got, the louder she'd scream. I mean, it's pretty intense. See, my wife's tough. She was raised on a farm. She bowls overhand. I mean, she's a tough lady. You understand what I'm saying? Ugh. Give me a hard sport. I mean, she's tough. So I'm watching this little needle thing. The higher it gets, the louder she's screaming. But the next contraction earthquake thing, the needle goes straight to the top. I've never given birth before, so I didn't know what to say. I said, Lisa, that's a big one. My godly, holy, righteous wife said, shut up! And she's screaming at the top of her lungs. She's squeezing my hand so tight, this knuckle goes and dislocates out of my hand. And so I went, at the same time. The midwife, weighs about 125, comes over and says, why don't you just shut up? I'm going, I mean, how in the world can a baby be born? Come on, And when my wife's water broke, I thought my daughter was going to come out surfing. No, 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 no. I mean, it was like, it was really gross. It was really gross. I mean, it was so gross. And I don't mean to offend you by saying this. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But unless you had unless you were a C-section birth, you were not a very pretty baby. I'm sorry. My daughter, she had a cone head. She had marks on her head from where they pulled. And the first thing she saw was that green thing. Little red bulb thing. I don't know what that is. Jesus told Nicodemus he had to be born again. I will say this now. Let me just say this now. As intense as being born in, Jesus, his illustration there was being born again is supposed to be just as intense. He says, am I supposed to go back up in my mother's womb and be born all over again? How can a man, when he's old, be born again? Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh. But the spirit gives birth to spirit. I'm not reading too much into that. But he said, you've been born of water. No. You need to be born of the spirit. And I believe Nicodemus at the end of his life, now I don't know this for sure, one of those things I'm going to find out in heaven, but I believe with all of my soul that he was born again because he was one of the two guys that took Jesus off the cross. And remember when we talked about him and John, we talked about him, how he came to Jesus at night, he's one of him, and what was the other guy's name? Come on, quickly. Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus off the cross. And if he takes Jesus off the cross, it's like the guys who took Stephen and buried him. I want to find out who those guys were. Godly men, it says in Acts chapter 8. Godly men took the body of Stephen. If they touch a dead body, they're out of the church right now. They're out of the synagogue right now. I was a little misstep there. How are you doing? But they're out. And the whole nation hates them because they hate Jesus and they're killing him. He takes Jesus' body. I think Nicodemus at the end of his life was born again and didn't care about his reputation anymore because he took the body of Christ off the cross. I mean, you can care right now, but maybe tomorrow or in a few minutes not care. You remember the woman at the well? Jesus came up, tired as he was from the journey, sits down beside a well. This woman comes up. He says, hey, would you give me something to drink? You're asking me for something to drink? You know, you're a Jewish and I'm a Samaritan woman. If you knew who was asking, you would have asked me and I would have given you living water. Sir, are you greater than our father Jacob who dug this well and fed his flocks and his goats? If you drink this water, Jesus says, you'll thirst again. But if you drink the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. And it will well up inside of you to eternal life. She says, sir, from now on, give me this water. Go call your husband. Where does that fit? You know the story, but she didn't know the story yet. She said, I don't have a husband. Imagine her going, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right in saying you don't have a husband because you've had five and the man you live with now is not your husband. Busted. You ever been busted before? You know, she was brilliant here. She said, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Good idea. Compliment the guy who just busted you. You Jews think we should worship there in Jerusalem. We think we should worship here at Mount Gerizim. It doesn't matter where you worship. It's going to be a time coming where if you worship in spirit and truth. Well, sir, there's going to be a guy come. He's going to be the Messiah. He's going to tell us all these things. Jesus says, I'm him. She leaves her water jar, runs back to town. The town's name is Sychar. The disciples came in at the end there, but she goes back to town, and this is her story. Come see this man who's told me everything I've ever done. I think she did it just like that, too. Do I look like Jeremy when I do that? Sorry. Mary Magdalene. Oh, we'll get to her later. She's the first one to see Jesus, though. Seven demons, what's that? I always get the Marys wrong. Seven demons in her memory. She was like amazing. Her reputation was nasty. She didn't care. She loved Jesus. Good one. Welcome to Moses. Now watch this now. So this woman goes and tells the people, Sychar. See, the disciples came back when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And they're going, why is she talking to her? She should be talking to him. They're mad. When she leaves, they're relieved. She goes back and tells this town about Jesus. And the Bible says the whole town came out to see Jesus. One of the first great evangelists in the Bible is this woman who had five husbands. The man she lives now, not her husband. The whole town comes out to see Jesus. Time out. Where did the disciples go and get food? Sychar, right? Why did they not bring the whole town out to see Jesus? Disciples. Is that not what you're being trained to be here? Why did they not go bring the whole town out to see Jesus? Because they were concerned about the reps. They didn't like the Samaritans, the half-breed dogs. The Assyrian Empire caused a lot of trouble 700 years before that. They didn't like them. They don't like the people on the other side of the tracks, the different races, the different... The disciples! This woman goes back and says, come see this man. When you come face to face with something amazing, you have a tendency to exaggerate about it. I don't call it exaggeration, it's hyperbole. When you see something amazing, you go, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen. That's when you come face to face with Jesus. We must have a reaction to Jesus that shows no concern for our reputation. She comes back and the whole town, I don't know, did it set up what Philip did later? Pretty interesting stuff. I love to read the Bible and it's like this. Let me just make this point as clear as I can. I believe one of the key ingredients of the victorious Christian life is us sharing our faith. I think the reason why we share our faith when we're in seminary and Bible college and graduate school, the reason why we share our faith is because we have had a reaction to Jesus that shows no concern for our reputation. And wouldn't it be great to have somebody say, thanks! That's the girl! That's the girl! Ha ha! Forever. 10,000 bunch of. I don't think it has anything to do with the song, but you know what I'm saying? Because when we've been there 10,000 years, it'll be like we just got there. Let's pray. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we would have a reaction to Jesus that shows no concern for our reputations. That we would be evangelistic. Because we've met with you face to face as a man meets with his friend. I mean, I know the world needs to hear. I know that. But look what it's done in our lives. It only increases our love for you when we talk about you. It increases our knowledge of who you are in us too. Everybody wins when we walk through our fear and when we walk through our reputations. Our reputation is you, Christ. We love you, Papa. You're the best thing that's ever happened to us, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
we hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.